Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast. I'm your host, Angela Pugh. Today, we're going to talk about something. This is something I get asked about a lot. It's something we talk about in AA meetings a lot as well. And how do you navigate the world staying sober when everybody around you is drinking? And there are a couple of different angles of this. You know, one of the things that we hear is people always say, well, what do I tell people? I don't really know what to say. I don't want to draw attention to myself. I don't want it to be a big deal, but I don't know what to say to people. The other part of it is, what do you do when you're in situations where maybe the people around you don't even know that you're sober? Maybe you're on a business trip or a pool party, happy hour, a family gathering, right? Like there's plenty of people that have families that drink and we stop drinking. So how do you navigate that stuff, especially when the people around you don't know you're sober? Because then you don't have the accountability, right? It's not like you have somebody looking over your shoulder, recognizing what you're doing, seeing you're having a drink when you're not supposed to be having a drink. When nobody knows you're sober, you automatically don't have that accountability. So there are a million reasons that we end up at events where people don't know that we're sober, and you don't necessarily want to tell them, and you don't have to, right? So how do you stay sober when no one is watching? I guess that's how we'll put it. We'll talk about some powerful and super easy steps you can take to remain alcohol-free no matter what situation you're in, and you don't have to make a declaration to the world that you are sober, or you can just have a club soda in your hand and you don't even have to explain yourself and tell anybody it's just club soda with no vodka. So you don't stand out as much as you think you do. I want to be really clear about that. And remember, most people are so consumed with themselves, right? Really, by nature, we are super self-absorbed. It's pretty ridiculous when you pay attention, but most people are so consumed with themselves and what they're doing, they don't know if you're drinking or not, especially drinking people, because mostly all they care about is their drink and making sure that nobody gets between them and the bar. So really, this can be pretty simple. And it bums me out that people get nervous about it, because it doesn't have to be such a big deal. It can be pretty easy to navigate. I have never had a moment of anonymity, and I don't necessarily know why I was like that from the beginning. I just was so open about my sobriety. It never even dawned on me. It was never even a thought in my head to not be open about it or to hide it. I don't know. I don't know why I was different in that way, but I definitely have friends that are much more on the down low, or friends with professional jobs too. Like that's a big thing when you work in an office setting and it could affect your job or it could affect your relationships with your coworkers. Like there are a ton of reasons that people keep their sobriety to themselves. I just have never been in that position, right? I never wanted to. You know, I continued bartending. I was a bartender my whole adult life, and I continued bartending well into my sobriety for many years. And when I got sober, I worked in a bar. I had been there for several years, and it really was like extended family. You know, there was the same people all the time, regulars, and we all drank together. We spent our holidays together. You know, it was the same people at my bar every day, and I love those people. And when I got sober, first of all, nobody argued with me when I got sober, right? There was nobody trying to talk me out of being sober. I think everybody was on the same page that it was best for me. It was best for the safety of the world that I be sober, right? I think we were all in agreement with that. But I would get up every day and go to the noon AA meeting, and I had to be at work at 5 o'clock. So I would get to work at 5 o'clock, and I would be so excited about whatever thing I had learned in AA that day. I would tell all my regulars at the bar everything I learned in AA that day. I mean, I look back on it now and they probably thought I was crazy, but they really were my extended family. So they were so supportive and so kind. And really, if I were in any other situation that I didn't have that love and support of those people, I probably wouldn't have been able to continue bartending. I just, everybody was so great with me and they supported me staying sober. They celebrated my months with me. You know, like it was just, it was really good. I was very, very fortunate in that way. But what I know now is there are definitely steps I can take to make my sobriety more comfortable, because I'm also not like out at networking events, like standing on the table screaming to the room that I'm a sober person. You know, obviously it's my business, it's everything I do, it's pretty obvious. But I just know that I, you know, I can take certain measures to make it much easier on myself. So that's what we're going to talk about, is just a few tips and tricks, things you can do to make yourself more comfortable, to provide a little accountability for yourself. So when you're in one of those situations that nobody knows you're sober and you're just trying to maintain some sober anonymity, you can do so, but remain sober. So one of the first things I always say is have an ally, okay? Have an ally. Somebody that knows you are sober. Now, hopefully, whatever situation you might be in, you might have somebody close enough there that knows you're sober, and that can be your buddy, that can be your ally, right? You have to have a home-based type person. For me, a lot of times, maybe this is on text, right? I might have some people I'm texting with, some sober friends, or my mom, or whatever the case may be, but have an ally. Have somebody that you can be communicating with consistently about what's going on, but also somebody that will keep you centered in your sobriety, right? So if I'm somewhere and somebody starts acting crazy, it's kind of fun for me to text one of my sober friends and go, oh my God, you will never believe what this dude just did, you know? So just have an ally, have a built-in fun support person that keeps you grounded during your event, whether hopefully you can have somebody in person, but if not, have somebody via text message or in our Facebook group. I know a ton of you have joined our Facebook group. I love you guys. Thank you so much for that. But you know, maybe you pop in there and write a post, like get some support. There are a million ways to have an ally. The next thing I talk about is know your triggers. I want to be really clear about this because you guys hear me say this all the time. Ultimately, I am my responsibility. It is my responsibility to know what my triggers are. It is my responsibility to take care of myself and protect myself. So be mindful of that. It's up to you to know what your triggers are and to protect yourself from those triggers. So like for me, when I was drinking, tequila was my greatest love, right? So if I'm at a party or something now, and a tray of tequila shots are coming around, there's a really good chance I'm going to excuse myself, you know? Not because I think I'm necessarily going to grab one and chug it. I mean, I don't think I would do that. At the same time, I'm not going to put myself in a position where I'm vulnerable. There's just no reason. One of the most important things I can do is be aware of my own triggers. Maybe I excuse myself for a bathroom break. Maybe I walk into the other room or walk into the hallway or something to call or text with my ally person that I have on standby. Maybe I walk away and I send a fun selfie to my mom. Whatever it is, whatever I need to do to keep myself in a good, sober state of mind. So listen, tequila is not going to chase me and nobody can force me to drink it. I'm responsible for taking care of myself. And the smart thing for me to do in certain situations is just to excuse myself, separate myself from that situation. Number three, my friends, no FOMO. For those of you that don't know, FOMO is fear of missing out. Sometimes we get this strange little feeling when we see other people enjoying their glass of wine, or we see our friends or family mixing cocktails and laughing together, and we start to feel like we're missing out on something special. sometimes too, it can make us feel a little bit different and separate from, apart from the group or whatever. And I have to consistently remind myself that I'm not missing out on anything. There's nothing fun about drinking for me. Even when it did provide some temporary relief for my anxiety or discomfort, it was such a fraud. It was so fake. It wasn't helping me at all. It was just giving me a momentary reprieve. And then usually I would end up making the situation worse because I was drinking. So I'm not missing out on anything. I love my sobriety, right? The only thing you're missing out on is a horrific hangover and probably pissing some people off and embarrassing yourself. And to me, like, I don't miss any of those things. I really hope you guys don't miss any of those things. Not to mention, if I drank, honestly, I would be devastated. I would be heartbroken. I would lose everything I've worked for. And I just will never convince myself that I'm missing out on some special moment when I see people drinking together, because that's not a special moment. What is special for me in my life is this great achievement and the empowerment that I get because I'm a sober person, and how much control I get to have in my life and what my life looks like because I'm a sober person. You know, this courage that I have and this inner strength that I have because of recovery, because I have to fight my demons and I have to get through it on a daily basis. There is so much strength in that, and I am so grateful and so proud that I get to be this person. And alcohol will just rob me of all of that. So number four is, don't test yourself, right? Don't put yourself in situations you have no business being in. And I hear this one a lot from people when they're newly sober. You know, like, they'll go to parties or they'll put themselves in situations that they really just don't have any business being in. And just like me, bartending, listen, I would not recommend that path to anyone. It just worked for me. It does not work for most people. It's not safe for most people. I don't know why I was okay with it. I kind of do, but there's no reason to put yourself in situations where you're making yourself vulnerable. Testing how you feel at parties or being around your friends when they're drinking or going on a date with somebody that's drinking. There are too many forces working against us naturally, especially when we're newly sober. So test yourself later, when there isn't so much stress and general discomfort, when you're a little stronger, when you've worked on your sobriety and you've strengthened it so it can protect you. Then you can start pushing the boundaries a little bit. But listen, if you don't have to push the boundaries ever, don't. There's just no reason to. Don't test yourself at all. If you're in a really good place, don't push your luck. Just be grateful and don't test yourself. The next thing I say, number five, is stay busy. This is so big, and I say this to people all the time, newly sober again. When I was newly sober, my little drunken brain was used to starting drinking at a certain time every day, right? I usually, like, if I had to work, I had to be there at 5 o'clock. I would typically start drinking by 8 o'clock, sneaking shots or doing whatever. So when I got sober, as 8 o'clock would creep up, my little drunken brain would start getting anxious and it would start to obsess about having a drink because that's what it was used to. And I literally had to keep myself busy. And, you know, in AA, we say one day at a time. I literally was taking it 10 minutes at a time. Like, that's all I could do when I was new. And if I was at work behind the bar, like, I was cleaning out drawers, I was cleaning out cabinets that probably hadn't been cleaned out in a decade. But I'm telling you, that was the cleanest bar that anybody ever saw when I was newly sober, because I would just distract myself 10 minutes at a time. And how I do this now in social gatherings, you guys have heard me talk a lot about this too, that I have really bad anxiety and I struggle a lot in groups. But I have to be in groups quite a bit. You know, I do networking things and stuff like that. So this is what I do when I'm in these situations where my anxiety just bums me out. I stay busy. This is a big one for me. It's not so simple for me to just sit around and chit chat, especially surface level chit chat, because I'm an introvert, right? I want to get deep. I want to talk about deep, meaningful, profound things. I want our souls to connect. That's who I am. I'm much more comfortable when I'm busy. So when I'm at an event or something, I will always figure out a way I can be of service. How can I help out? What can I do to help out in the place? I might look like a crazy person. I really don't know. Like, I'll be walking around cleaning up trash, picking up garbage, clearing plates off the table. I mean, whatever the thing is, I just will figure out how I can help somebody somewhere. Sometimes maybe that's finding the other introvert in the crowd, you know, because typically as an introvert, we will always not be in the crowd. So you'll typically find me like in the farthest corner by myself on my phone, you know, whatever, because I don't like being in the crowd. So it's pretty easy for me to spot another introvert and maybe I'll go connect with them. But it's so important just to stay busy and be of service. You know, so if I'm at a family gathering or something like that, maybe I'm cleaning up or I'm helping set the table or I'm helping with some of the cooking or, you know, maybe I find a game to play with my niece or one of my brothers, like who knows, whatever it is. I just try to find ways to stay busy, to distract my brain so it doesn't start obsessing about having a drink, right? Anything you can do to distract your brain, distract yourself from the committee in your head and all that chatter, thinking about a drink. Okay, last one, number six. Of course, this is my favorite. You know, this is a part of my personal code of conduct, how I like to conduct myself in my life is service, love, and gratitude. I make sure everything I do is in that framework. So number six is be grateful. I love to just have a moment to be grateful about just being clean and sober and for the life that I get to have, for the future that I will get to have because I'm sober, right? Take a minute and think about all the things you're going to gain from being a sober person and how much further your career can go and what a better parent you're going to be able to be, better son or daughter you're going to be able to be to your parents, the better employee you're going to be able to be. Like all of these things are things to be grateful for, right? Think about how much less money I'm going to spend on legal fees, which was really nice when that was finally over. Be grateful that you're not in jail or dead because as drinking people, that's where we end up. But as sober people, we have the opportunity to recreate and live a whole new life. And that is nothing short of freaking amazing. And many people aren't that blessed, right? People that are dealing with other life issues, they don't have programs to go to, and they don't have the level of commitment that we have in sobriety and recovery. So take a minute, look around at the people who love you, take a moment to love them back, take a moment to count your blessings and all the sober friends you have. Think about that, especially for those of us that do AA, you know, like have a moment to be grateful for all the friends I have across the world that literally I can go anywhere on the planet and I have a built-in family, people who care about me and protect me. And not many people have that, but sober people do. So take a moment to be grateful for all those things and the direction you're going and what your sobriety will bring to you and all the opportunities that sober life will bring to you. So these are just a few simple measures you can take to protect yourself and get through uncomfortable stuff and celebrate the victory on the other side. Call your friends, go to a meeting, be helpful to others. Remember how incredible sober life is and just protect it at all cost. You know, another thing I always do too, I should probably put this on this list, but another thing I always do, especially when I go meet friends or something, drinking friends or whatever, I always make sure I drive my own car. And for a long time, I didn't do that. When I was newer, I thought it was really cool to be the designated driver. And then like I still got to be involved in going out and whatever. And I would just drive my friends and make sure everybody was safe. And for a while, that was fun. But it definitely lost its charm because I don't really like being around wasted people. I don't mind if my friends have some drinks, but I don't want to be around anybody when they're really drunk because it's kind of gross and it's not fun. But that's another one, is make sure that you have a way to leave. If you get uncomfortable, if you need to leave. And always remember you can excuse yourself. Have your ally that you can go talk to or you can text. You can always excuse yourself for a bathroom break or something like that and just take a moment and get grounded. So I've got this checklist for you guys in a PDF form. If you want to grab that, it will be in the show notes. A link will be in the show notes where you can grab that sober, stay sober checklist, or you can find it at addictionunlimited.com/sober checklist. You can find it there. Click in the show notes. Don't forget to join our Facebook group. It's growing really fast. It's fun. I'm going to be making a huge announcement about the recovery recipe. This is an online course that I created. It's such a great support. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. And that course is going to be released really soon. And I'm going to make that announcement first in the Facebook group. And my Facebook group members are going to get a special introductory discount for that course. I'm going to give this thing away dirt cheap, and it's going to have a ton of support with me. So join the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/addictionunlimited. And you've got about 2 weeks to get over there. Once I make the announcement in the Facebook group and I offer that initial introductory price for Facebook group members, that will last a very brief period of time. And then it will go to the regular cost for everybody everywhere. But join that group. I hope you guys love this information. I hope it's good for you. Have an incredible day, and I will talk to you guys next week.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast, candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.